Hey, Brewers fans, welcome back to BrewPod Between the Lines podcast. This is your host, Caden Adsit, and the Brewers dropped the first series of the 2024 season. Dropped the home series against the San Diego Padres. They ended up losing the first two games on Monday and Tuesday, but they did avoid the sweep today after an exciting and more regular, what we've become used to in the past, 1-0 victory. Definitely a game that we've become accustomed to the last couple years with the Brewers. They play a lot of these close games, a lot of these low-scoring games, so it almost looked like our old team from what it's been so far this year. It almost looked like more of a team from the last couple years, but anyways, a lot of content to talk about today. Honestly think I might have to start splitting these up because of how much content we talk about. I don't want to drag on too long for you guys, and just a lot of stuff to talk about, and I think... with my availability, I might be able to try and get them in more of a day or every other day type basis, just to make sure we have some time to cover some more of the hot take topics and some more of my opinionated thoughts on where the Brewers are at. But with that, we'll kind of dive into update on the Brewers rosters half. So we did end up seeing Christian Yelich fall to a 10-day injured list. The Brewers management made that decision on Tuesday. They placed him on a 10-day injured list, basically just to avoid further injury. We've seen this, unfortunately, from Yelich in the past, where he deals with that lower back injury. But he knows now in his career he's dealt with it enough that if it's bothering him, not to push it, because it's only going to get worse from there. They don't want to make what is already bad anything worse, especially with the season that he's been putting together so far. So definitely stinks to see him go down as early as it is with losing a superstar in the lineup on a day-by-day basis. But hopefully, within this 10-day stretch, he's able to recover, and we'll see him back on the field in no time. Due to that, we saw Owen Miller called up from AAA. He's starting off in spring training, or continuing his hot spring training in AAA. He was hitting .353 with a .414 on-base percentage down in AAA Nashville. So not a surprise to see him back in the season. I don't think we were hoping, obviously, to have him called up in replace of Christian Yelich with him being on the injured list. But nonetheless, really good to see him back up. I think he's a really good guy to have off the bench, and he can put together some good things out in the outfield, in the infield out on the defense as well. We also saw left-handed pitcher Jared Koenig for the first couple times this series. But after that, he was optioned to AAA Nashville. We selected right-handed pitcher Tobias Myers, and he's produced a 1.84 earned run average, which included 19 strikeouts and 14 and two-thirds innings over three starts in AAA. So basically the move here is just kind of the typical thing that we see from Pat Murphy and Craig Counsell in the past. But Pat Murphy kind of adopting that same philosophy where we use these guys with the short bullpen that we have right now, and we're just using them, you know, trying to get some innings out of them and eat up some innings and then send them back down to AAA, call up a new fresh arm to keep our bullpen as fresh as we can. I do think we'll probably see Koenig again at some point this season. He had some really terrific outings. He went 3 2/3 scoreless innings, striking out two over his back-to-back outings we saw on Monday and Tuesday against the Padres. So just some really positive things from his end as well. Like I said, I think we'll see him back at some point. It's just right now with Trevor Megill being out still, we have Devin Williams out, you know, for a while till midsummer. So a lot of it right now for the Brewers is just trying to keep the bullpen fresh so we don't have to use these guys, you know, the more important guys, I guess you could say, the more back end of the bullpen. Not to talk about importance, obviously, but more back end of the bullpen guys that we want to give some rest so they are able to stay fresh as well. So it's just basically a move to get some more fresh arms up in the bullpen. And then lastly, we did see Vladimir Gutierrez. He was designated for assignment. Brewers claimed him from the Miami Marlins earlier this month. I think it was around April 5th or so. And so we see him designated for assignment. Previously with the Cincinnati Reds in their rotation for a couple years. And he's just been battling some injury, but also having some rough numbers and not having a ton of success at the major league level. So not too much of a surprise there from that key standpoint. Some key takeaways from this weekend. I think the main reason, if you want to talk about anything, why the Brewers lost in these games, the defense was just back to their poor ways. We saw Contreras make some very lazy mistakes behind home plate, some catcher interference plays, passed balls, just mistakes that if you asked him, and he knows better than anybody that he should be making these plays, I mean, they're basically almost like rookie mistakes is from what I'm seeing from my standpoint, but nonetheless, I mean, you can't go into that in the back of your head in the next game because otherwise it's going to cost you to make more mistakes in the future as well. So hopefully we're able to see, you know, hopefully that was just a little bit of a fluke for the couple games. We have seen some games where it just seems like the Brewers' defense just didn't even show up, especially early in games. So hopefully we, you know, can kind of clean some of this stuff up. You would hope by now in the season to have a lot of these flukes in the system cleaned up already, but you're going to see errors. I mean, it's one of those things that's inevitable throughout the season, but hopefully that's something that we're able to clear up, because what really cost them in this series was those errors led to big innings for the Padres. They were able to expand the lead out far enough that it was just hard for the Brewers offense to claw their way back in. We did see Joey Ortiz make another errant throw in Tuesday's game. So a little bit of a concern there. We've seen some really good defense out of Oliver Dunn at third base so far this year. So I don't know, maybe Pat Murphy will make the decision to try Joey Ortiz more at second base. But then again, it's like, how do you replace Bryce Terang at second base when he was a Gold Glove finalist last year and is doing a lot of the same this year so far? So just some interesting things from that standpoint. Hopefully Ortiz is able to correct some of these things. It's not so much a fielding error as it is just a poor throwing arm. And not even so much a poor throwing arm, it's just his accuracy just isn't there, and some of these throws aren't very good. We saw kind of a similar thing about 2 years ago with Urias. He really struggled at third base, and then Council kind of fluttered him in at second base. And then when he moved back to third base, he actually had become a lot more exceptional third baseman. I don't know if it was just the adjustment and kind of locking in at third base or what exactly happened there. So hopefully maybe Pat Murphy will kind of move him around a little bit, but he's a bat, including Bryce Terang, both of those guys we want to have in the lineup on a day-by-day basis. I mean, they're both hitting above 300 right now, so he's going to have to fix that up and tidy that up, because that's not a bat that we want to leave out of the lineup. But if it continues making errors, I would imagine Pat Murphy's not going to let that fly, and he's going to be more of a bench player and play more of a pinch-hitting role maybe, or later inning role. So anyways, with that, just that was kind of the big takes that I got away from this weekend. But with that, we'll dive into more of the game-by-game stats. So game one, we saw the Brewers lose 7-3 to open the series. Brewers ended up getting out to a really quick 1-0 start in the first inning. A couple base hits. Saw Jackson Churio get a base hit. We saw Willy Adames get that RBI single in the first inning. And then Churio continued that in the third inning with a two-run home run, his third of the season, which had made it 3-0 at that point. And at this point in the game, I think, even from my standpoint, still early, we're feeling pretty good. Joe Ross is dominating. He was pretty locked down for the first three innings. Brewers offense was putting together some really good at-bats against Joe Musgrove and the Padres. And then it just kind of fell apart. We saw Joe Ross, he wiggled out of some trouble in the fourth inning. He surrendered one run, but was able to wiggle out of it. So you were kind of hoping that was just the one fluke of an inning that we were going to see. And then the fifth inning, just everything just kind of caromed in the wrong way for the Milwaukee Brewers. I did see some things. I saw some people complaining and some negative comments about, you know, Joe Ross. This is what we expected from him. He put together a really bad start, but in all honesty, I really thought that he had a pretty good start. I mean, yeah, he gave up several runs, and he was the main reason for that six-run inning, but a lot of these hits, only two or three of them for the Padres were over 100 miles per hour exit velocity. So he's giving up a lot of contact, a lot of soft contact that were just bloops and bleeders, getting into the outfield, going through the infield. There were some walks in that innings. We did see some of those defensive miscues as well that I was talking about. And it just kind of took off from there for the Brewers. It just was not a good inning. 6 runs total scored for the San Diego Padres, which had made it a 7-3 game at that point, which ended up being the final tally in this one. So, yes, were there some things that Joe Ross probably could have done better? But, I mean, I think overall he was getting ahead in counts. He was producing soft contact. It just seemed like everything that could go wrong in this inning went wrong, whether that be where the ball was falling, the defense behind Joe Ross, some of the walks, just a little bit of everything. And it was a rough inning, and it was a tough one to watch here from the chair here as well. So I mean, just not an inning that you can hang your head on too much, hopefully, for Joe Ross, because there was definitely some really good things we still saw in this start. So hopefully he's able to bounce back here when he will pitch on the road trip, most likely against the Pittsburgh Pirates in the middle of that series. Anyways, also in that game, we did see some good innings, multi-innings, out of the bullpen from Thiago Vieira. He came in, he produced some good shutdown innings, and then we did see Jared Koenig for the first time, and he had some good innings as well. And not really too much more offensively, like I said, with the 3 runs being the total in this game. So still some positive things to take away. You try to not hang your head too much. First time this year that the Brewers had lost back-to-back games at this point. And still some positive things to walk away from. So Brewers were still competitive in this game. In the later innings, they were able to put together some threats on offense. Just were missing that big hit and base hit with runners in scoring position to push across any runs to make this one closer. And then we saw a little bit of that same thing, honestly, carry into game 2 of this series. Brewers end up losing this game 6-3, and this one really started rather than having a bad inning in the 5th inning. This started right away. Wade Miley gets roughed around in that first inning. A lot more bloops and bleeders from the San Diego Padres offense through the first few batters. We saw a screamer off the bat of Manny Machado hit Wade Miley in the knee. He was able to remain in the game, a little bit questionable as whether Pat Murphy should have left him in there or not. But I think Wade Miley has had enough experience in this league, and he knows his limitations, and he willed his way in to stay in this game. And then shortly after that, the next batter after that, actually, we see Ha-Sung Kim. After some of those bloops and bleeders, he kind of put the big shot on the Brewers early with a 3-run home run, almost off the foul pole, just to the right of the foul pole in left field for a fair ball and a 3-run home run nonetheless. So just a really rough start for the Brewers. And then the offense was able to get one in the first inning. Looked like maybe they were going to be able to kind of will their way back in. But Dylan Cease for the Padres, kudos to him. He pitched great in this game. He finishes with a line, 6 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 5 walks, which was a little bit surprising. But also you have to realize Angel Hernandez was behind the plate in this game, so some bad calls both ways in this game. Kind of a typical trend that we see with Angel Hernandez. But 5 walks, some calls that probably shouldn't have been walks, that should have been called looking strikeouts for the Brewers. But still 5 walks, I don't think really who matter who the ump is a little bit concerning. But he also had 7 strikeouts. Just overall, a really dominant start for him. He would definitely be an ace in most MLB rotations. But of course, the Padres do have Yu Darvish, who really is another phenomenal arm in that rotation. And honestly, up and down the starting rotation for this Padres pitching staff is pretty incredible. And we saw Michael King pitch in today's game, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. He had a great game as well. So I think the Padres definitely are going to be in that playoff contention, or at least in the running for a wild card that they have been in the past couple seasons, just with the offensive roster that they obviously have. And then this pitching rotation seems to get stronger and stronger year by year. Anyway, so back to the in-game stats for this. Wade Miley ended up pitching 3 innings. He did show a little bit of an injury off of a bunt later in the game. So we'll see. Maybe there will be an update on that, but I think he should be okay to go in his next scheduled start, which we'll probably also see against the Pirates here on the road trip. Manny Machado hit a second screamer off of Elvis Peguero. He just some really screamers off the, I mean, some really high velocity hits off the bat that were hitting our pitchers, and good to see that both of them were not injured. We did see Peguero come back and pitch today, so good on that side. But again, this game really just felt like everything that could go wrong, whether it be offensively. We did see a couple more errors in this game too, so just some rough defense in this one as well, and it just seemed like everything that could go wrong was going wrong. Brewers hitting some hard exit velocity off the bat right at Padres infielders and outfielders. Padres were making some great plays out in the outfield and on the infield as well. And then a lot of these hits, so many singles in the series for the Padres batters. So many of these hits just kind of rolling through the infield. Not too high exit velocity. A lot of bloops in the outfield getting in front of our outfielders. So, like I said, it's hard to not be discouraged, but I'm trying to think about it in a positive way that this isn't due to a poor execution of pitches. This isn't due to necessarily bad plate discipline. Obviously, we didn't see quite the same offensive output this series that we have in the past couple series, but you've got to understand, especially against the Padres pitching staff, and our offense is not going to be able to output the same numbers that they have so far this year because they've been through the roof so far to start the year. So they've kind of come down to earth here in this series a little bit, I think. So I try to not hang my head too much on a couple of these losses. So going into today's game, Brewers trying to snap their three-game losing streak, and they did just that. So final game of the series, Brewers win 1-0. And like I said, this is a much more typical Brewers victory that we've become accustomed to in the past couple seasons. Usually the Brewers are in these low-scoring affairs, 1-2 runs separating, comes down to a nail-biter in the late innings. This has just been Brewers baseball over the past several seasons. And you know what? As much as I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack almost every time I watch these games, having games that are close and being in exciting games through and through is so exciting. And it's just so much more, not relaxing, but it's so much more enjoyable as a fan to sit here and watch competitive baseball on a day-by-day basis from this Milwaukee Brewers staff. But more on this game, kind of a bullpen game going into it. I originally thought maybe we'd see Freddy Peralta in this game, but Pat Murphy probably wisely deciding to kind of keep like a six-man rotation and give him one extra day off, and actually two extra days off with the day off tomorrow for the Brewers. But we see Bryce Wilson start in this game, and just some phenomenal pitching from the Brewers. Bryce Wilson, he goes 3 2/3 innings, two hits. He gets a couple of Ks. We see Brian Hudson finish out the fourth inning after Bryce Wilson got into a little bit of trouble there. He ends up going two and a third innings with no hits allowed, and he's just been really good out of the bullpen so far this year. Brings his ERA down to a .96 out of the bullpen so far. Been a really dominant left-handed pitcher, and he's been able to eat up multiple innings in several games so far this year. We've seen him typically pitch about two innings, it seems like, is what Pat Murphy wants out of him. But we've also seen him come in like the seventh. I think we might have seen him come in the eighth inning one earlier time this year. So he's a critical guy out of that bullpen that the Brewers have added, and he is putting up numbers exactly like we want to have him doing out of the bullpen, and it's been really exciting to see. We saw a bounce-back outing from Elvis Peguero after surrendering a couple runs in Game 2. And then we saw Abner Uribe, a little bit of trouble there in the eighth inning. We also saw him in Game 2. He got into a little bit of trouble as well, but no earned runs allowed for him. He gives up a leadoff triple in the eighth inning. Some stingy pitches there in some of these games for him. But today he was able to claw his way out of it, especially through the heart of the Padres lineup, and an excellent barehanded play to retire Tatis to leave that batter or that runner stranded on third in that eighth inning. And then following that, for the Padres on their pitching end, Michael King, another guy, like I was mentioning earlier, he's Padres before this game hadn't lost a game with him on the mound, and I can see why. He's got a great changeup. He's got a great sinker. He plays them really well off of one another, and he had Brewers hitters kind of just flailing at the plate all day today. I think the pitch looks exactly the same out of his hand. He's got a really good release point with both of those pitches. And so the way that he was playing the pitch off of one another was spectacular. And we did see a little bit of a widened strike zone from the home plate umpire again in today's game. Again, both sides getting some calls, not really one-sided one way or the other. But I think that definitely helped the pitching staff in this game, getting some calls off the edges, kind of expanding the plate for the batters here in today's game. But we saw Willy Adames. He breaks a no-hitter in the seventh inning, bouncing back to Michael King. He finished with a tally of 7 2/3 innings, 2 hits, a couple walks, and 10 Ks. He started the eighth inning for the Padres before Bryce Turan got a base hit and a stolen base off of him. And so he was responsible for that runner on second. And how about Blake Perkins? He goes for a base hit to left field, scores Bryce Turan from second base, so a huge stolen base there for Bryce Turan. And that was with two outs against Wandy Peralta. So we see the Brewers take the lead in this one, 1-0 in the eighth inning. And unfortunately for Michael King, that run goes responsible to him. But no looking back at what an amazing outing he had today. So hats off to him for a great outing and a great start to the season, frankly, for him so far this season. So, but how about Blake Perkins? He's been off to one heck of a start to this season and kind of filling in a role. He's making the most of his playing time with Christian Yelich being on the injured list now, kind of filling in for him in the outfield. But he's hitting .324 with a .390 on-base percentage and another great addition to the bottom of the lineup for the Brewers offense so far this season. So just some really good and kind of unexpected numbers from him so far this year. He was even a little bit limited in his at-bats in spring training, and you knew that he was going to have this role in the Brewers bench of kind of coming in as a pinch-hitting guy. He does have great defense out in the outfield. He can chase down balls. He's got a great read off the ball coming off the bat in the outfield, so he's able to run down a lot of these balls, and usually we see him in a later inning position, you know, either as a defensive swap or something, but usually he's not getting the starts that he is. But how can you not? I mean, not only with Christian Yelich being out of the lineup, but with the numbers he's putting up, how can you leave him out of the lineup? So some really good things from him. Obviously that go-ahead hit in the eighth inning today, which was the difference. And then we saw a clean inning from Yoel Piamps, who collects his second save of the season in that ninth inning. So just take away from this game, hats off to the Brewers pitching staff, looking like their old selves. No runs, only 5 hits allowed, only a couple walks. Not too many strikeouts in this game either, but so a little bit of a hats off to the defense as well for making up after some poor game and play in the first two games of the series to bounce back. No errors, and in a 1-0 game, if you're going to have a chance to win, you're going to have to go with no errors. So they did everything right that they needed to today from that standpoint. So yeah, that kind of wraps up. I know a lot to talk about there in those three games, but a lot of fun things to cover, a lot of important things to cover that happened in these games. I think the one big thing that I want to talk about here before we jump into some of the ahead matchups would be the Brewers' offense. I want to dive in a little bit more to some of these numbers so far this season. How about Sal Frelick? We've got 7 players right now on the Milwaukee Brewers that are hitting over .300. Backing up just a little bit. We have Sal Frelick. He's hitting .308. He's been bouncing back and forth in between a leadoff position in the lineup and kind of like a 6-7 role. So it's been fun to see Pat Murphy kind of on a day-by-day. You have no idea what lineup you're going to get. We saw against Burns in that Orioles series, we saw Contreras leading off. We saw Hoskins in the two-hole. So he likes to kind of jumble these guys around. I think probably to help even, I would think from a batter standpoint, it kind of helps keep you on your toes too, because you might be in a different, you know, if you're going to be in a different position on a day-by-day basis, you know, you're going to be in some different hitting positions based on where you are in the order in the game. You could be in a run-producing role, so mainly just more so looking to put the bat on the ball, or you might be in kind of a setup man role. So I think it kind of helps. I do actually like this style of what Pat Murphy's doing. I think not only is he kind of figuring out how the lineup is going to work, but I do think that it's really good just to kind of keep these guys fresh and keep these guys, you know, you're not getting them in a consistent pattern and you're keeping them on their toes on a day-by-day basis. But anyway, so Sal Frelick, he's hitting 308. Contreras is obviously, we've talked about him in just about every episode, because how can't you? He's hitting 358, finally snapped his what was a 12-game hitting streak today with an 0-4 in today's game. Adames, he's hitting 308, so he's hitting with some more consistency. Really good to see that from him. Joey Ortiz, hitting 324 towards the bottom of the lineup typically. Bryce Terang, he continues his hot start to the season, 327. Blake Perkins, we just talked about him, 324. And then obviously we have Christian Yelich, who right now is on the injury list. He's hitting 333. But I do seriously think, you know, looking through these numbers, you would think 3 weeks into the season this would kind of even out and, you know, some guys would be hitting under 300 by now. But to have these many guys almost 3 weeks into the season hitting above 300, especially for, to me, a Brewers offense that has not been known for their batting in the past, or just a Brewers team that has not been known for their offense in the past, this is an extremely positive improvement from what we've seen. And a lot of these guys, if you would have told me we're hitting above 300 3 weeks after the season, I would have just probably straight up laughed at you. I don't think I ever expected Terang to be hitting over 300 with how he struggled last year. Perkins over 300. Ortiz over 300. So just a lot of these guys putting together some really consistent, solid at-bats, and it's been really fun to watch. So that was just one thing I wanted to touch on. And then another thing that we've talked about a couple times already, Bryce Terang leads the league in stolen bases, sitting at 9 now. He had that huge stolen base in the 8th inning today. Big part of the reason why the Brewers won today and were able to squeeze across that run. So hopefully, with him being able to get on base at the rate that he is right now, we will only see that number increase and better our offense in the future as well. So with that being said, kind of a wrap-up from talking about some of those things, looking ahead to the matchups in this weekend series against the St. Louis Cardinals. Brewers start another road trip there for them. We'll see Freddy Peralta versus Kyle Gibson, who's been struggling a little bit to start the season. Freddy Peralta, some familiar faces on these St. Louis Cardinals. Paul Goldschmidt, guys like Nolan Arenado, seen them a lot in the past. So hopefully Freddy Peralta is able to get the best of them in this matchup and continue his hot start to the season. We'll see Miles Michaelis go up against DL Hall on Saturday's game. So going to be important for DL Hall to bounce back and hopefully have a positive start in this one against Miles Michaelis. And then Sunday's game, we'll see Colin Rea versus Sonny Gray, who Colin Rea, as we've talked about, has been off to a great start himself as well. And Sonny Gray, really good start for him in two games this season. He so far has given up no earned runs in 11 innings pitched to start the year. So hopefully the Brewers offense is able to scratch across a couple more runs than what we saw in this San Diego series and get back to how they've been so far this season, but also going to be important for these Brewers pitchers to put together some good innings. Going to be nice to have the day off tomorrow and get our bullpen a little bit fresh after some heavy usage also in this San Diego Padres series. So a day off at a time needed that was needed for this Brewers staff. So also just wanted to give a quick update on where the Brewers are sitting in the NL Central standings after this series as well. So the Brewers actually have a sole lead no matter what today in the division. They advanced to 11-6 after that series loss against the San Diego Padres. The Cubs right now, they're at a 10-7 record, currently in a rubber match against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I got a chance to clock into some of those games here, and a couple of extra inning games and just some really two really good ball clubs going at it. And in inning by inning basis, it's been very competitive. They're currently up 3-2 against the Diamondbacks after six innings. So we'll see what happens there. Worst case scenario for the Brewers, they will only have a half game lead if the Cubs pull out the win against the Diamondbacks here later today. Pirates fall to 11-8. They were swept by the New York Mets. New York Mets have been playing some better ball after an 0-5 start. They are now 10-8. So glad to see the Brewers caught them at one of their low points, I guess, to start the season, if you want to talk, if you want to call it that. Reds, they are now sitting at 9-8. They are currently in a game with the Mariners, looking to avoid the sweep against the Mariners after they took the first two games in the series. That game's currently tied at one apiece in the bottom of the fifth. And then lastly, we have the Arizona Cardinals, who are looking to sweep the Athletics on the road. And that game is currently in the middle of the sixth inning. Athletics lead that one 5-3. Cardinals at a 9-9 record with that. So good thing to see the Brewers up at the sole lead in the division still early. Still, I mean, every team is in it. And this division, once again, looks to be one of the strongest, if not the strongest, in the MLB once again this year. So, and then a little update on, or not update, I guess, but just looking ahead to the Brewers schedule. I was looking at this a little bit today, and I honestly think this might be one of the toughest schedules going all the way up to almost the All-Star break that I've ever seen the Brewers have. It just seems like all these teams that we're playing are off to really good starts. We've already had 12 games against teams above 500 out of the 17 that we've played. So it's going to be tough, and we're going to see a lot more of that here coming up. We're going to see the Cardinals, like I said, this weekend for a three-game series. We've got four on the road against the Pittsburgh Pirates following that. We're going to play some home games, home series coming up against the New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays. So some more interleague play against some really strong teams there. Then we're going to bounce back on the road, face the Chicago Cubs and Craig Counsell for the first time. Then we're going to go to Kansas City and play the Royals to extend that road trip. And then finally, towards the middle of May, we'll be bouncing back to host the St. Louis Cardinals and the Pittsburgh Pirates once again. So all these teams right now sitting above 500. The only team, the Cardinals, are right at 500 as of now. But if they win today, they will bump above 500. So, I mean, you're talking about a lot of really competitive baseball coming up, a lot of really good players, a lot of really good rosters, some strong teams, and going to be important for the Brewers to try and keep. So far, you know, they've managed pretty well against these strong teams, but it's going to be important to keep that going as we progress through the end of this month and into next month. And honestly, like I said, all the way to the All-Star break. I'm not going to go through every series that the Brewers have up till then, but just wanted to give like a month update of what I saw today, and I was like, holy cow, there's some really good teams that the Brewers are going to be facing on a series-by-series basis, basically, for the next month. So just wanted to cover on that. And as you guys know, BrewPod Between the Lines podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and other mainstream podcast sites. I can always be reached on social media using @brew_pod on Twitter or searching BrewPod Between the Lines on Facebook or Instagram. If you guys have any recommendations or thoughts on ways that I can change this up, like I said, I'm thinking about maybe condensing this because it seems like a lot of content to cover and almost some content that's not quite as important as, you know, some of the stuff I lead off with. We're talking about 3-4 days ago, this already happened. So if you guys have any recommendations on that point or just any feedback in general on any of the sites or social media sites is really appreciated. With that being said, hopefully you guys are able to catch some of the games this weekend. Enjoy the off day tomorrow for the Milwaukee Brewers, and hopefully they're able to bounce back and get a series victory, or even a sweep would be really nice against the St. Louis Cardinals, and just some wins in general on this World Series here leading up. So with that being said, we will see you next time and talk to you soon. And of course, go Brewers!